The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. It's 11 after 8. I always enjoy talking with John O'Connor. John O'Connor is former federal prosecutor, experienced trial lawyer, practicing law in San Francisco, since the 1970s, really. Tried cases in state and federal court. He's also author of Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and began today's partisan advocacy journalism. In other words, not even pretending to be balanced and anything like that. He's also author of the host of the Mysteries of Watergate podcast, served as an assistant U.S. attorney in Northern Cal, representing the United States in criminal and civil cases. John, great to have you back on.
Well, Bill, it's great to be with you.
So how's life in the Bay Area this morning? Are you surviving your homelessness and all of the other attacks on peaceful life there? Are you doing okay, or are you outside of that?
It hasn't been any worse than it was before. Let's put it this way. Like so many people I talk to, I rarely go into the city. I live right outside the city. I've had an office. I still have an office there. And I've been going in for 45 years. And like so many people, I stay away as much as I can. It's not exciting. Some of it is safer. Some parts of it are safer. Some are not. Some are still. Remember that 49er receiver who just got his shot in Union Square the other day when some fellow tried to take his Rolex. And so there are still these things going on. Certain parts of the city are safe. But what it is, Bill, is a testament to progressive politics. This has gone from one of the most wonderful cities, free-spirited, nice, safe cities to a dystopian hellhole in many parts. Now, some of it is still very nice. Some of it is still very nice, but...
But there's a sheen of trouble kind of overlaying everything from what I understand. And now we're having similar problems in Portland, in our cities here too. And you're right, it's progressive policies. And if people aren't punished for doing bad things, well, then more bad things get done. You wouldn't think you'd have to tell people that, but apparently a lot of people just believe otherwise. I wanted to touch on something here that has not received a lot of attention. And because since you are so plugged into the rule of law, having been an assistant prosecutor and so many other things, of what is going on with the attack on the Supreme Court? Because it is the one institution that is not owned lock, stock, and barrel here by the hard political left in this country. There's very little left right now as far as institutional power that is not owned by the left. Would you agree with me first off on that premise? And tell me what's been happening with the Supreme Court and the attacks on it, apparently trying to undermine the authority.
Well, you've got it right. It is still our only free, unfettered institution, a branch of government. And everything was foreshadowed, Bill, by the leaking of the Dobbs v. Mississippi opinion. And that was clearly an act by a clerk, probably in conjunction with one of the liberal justices, I think, that probably was trying to put pressure on the court not to go where it was going.
Do you know if they ever discovered that clerk and fired the clerk or sanctioned the clerk in some way or another? Because, you know, if justices feel that they cannot converse with one another and talk about these things and keep their stuff private until they actually release it to the public, there's not going to be as much communication. It's not helpful at all. What happened?
Well, here's the problem. The problem is that these judges, part of the process is exchanging drafts. Then the clerks will feverishly work on a new draft that the judge says, okay, try this. Let's see if so-and-so will buy this way approach. And so there's a lot of horse trading and compromising going on in terms of language and so forth and so on. Well, what we have now is because, and it's part and parcel what you and I are talking about, people on the progressive left think they are so correct in everything, and they have the, you know, anybody else is just not just wrong, they're bad. And when you are fighting evil, then you justify the ends, justify the means. And so that's what's happening. These leaks are designed to undermine the court. And it's really sort of a first step of a leftist politico coming in and saying, you know, we need to reform this court. I'm going to add two new justices. Mm-hmm. And then everybody raises their hand and votes for it. So that's what it is. It's they're looking for the politicization of the court. And it's happening with these leaks. Now, for instance, the leaks on Justice Roberts, he was doing his job. He's trying to steer people, trying to get majorities and trying to work out compromises so they can come out with an opinion that's not, you know, not like herding cats. They're not six separate opinions, but one majority opinion and so forth and so on. He's doing his job. But it's passed as a guy who's just out there trying to do Trump's dirty work for him. He's just a terrible guy. He's steering this decision toward Trump. How dare he?
And there's a lot about John Roberts that I thought of him as almost too accommodating, you know, quite often, and actually relatively weak, you know, in some ways.
Right.
But, you know, it just astounds me with the way this stuff is getting spun. But I mean, I can have that opinion of him, but I don't want him undermined either. You know, that's just it. But even Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was on Colbert earlier this week, and it's where the story was coming out. They were talking about these leaks, and she's a liberal justice. There's no doubt about it. But even she says it's a big problem when you have the Supreme Court being portrayed in the media as political, as just being purely political. That's a real problem, isn't it?
Well, it definitely is, and that's the problem. And now she may be saying that as a member of the court, and I think it's a good statement that she's made. But unfortunately, it's probably her political bedfellows that are doing it.
Really,
it's people on the left that are trying to undermine the conservative justice majority. That's really what's going on here.
Is there a possibility that these people that are undermining it, then now that Ketanji Brown Jackson is on the court, though, even she realizes that this is actually dangerous? Or is she just saying this for effect so that you look reasonable? I don't know. I'm just curious.
No, she's saying it. No, I think she's perfectly sincere.
Okay.
And I think she knows that that's a real problem. And she knows that everyone does the same thing, and it's something that's good. You try to reach consensus, as all democratic institutions should do. And you know, if there's no consensus, then you have a concurrence and a dissent, and maybe even among the dissent and the concurrence, you have separate opinion. But this is part of the process, and she knows that, and I think she's very wise in saying that. I think she believes what she says. The problem is I think there are a number of clerks, a number of bright people getting out of law school that think it's their job to undermine the court's opinions. And I would suspect that these are the clerks of the more liberal justices that are doing it. Because the courts have very much in mind when they're selecting clerks these days, do I want somebody in there that's completely antithetical to my view of the Constitution and the law? So usually the judges are good at picking very bright students, but very bright students that, you know, more or less adopt their philosophy. And so the only conclusion is that all these leaks are coming from clerks that operate for the liberal justices. That's what happened clearly in the abortion decision, and now it's happening again. All because they're decisions that they don't like. In other words, the minority lost and they can't take it.
You know, I'm kind of curious about here, John. They're making a big deal about the Dobbs decision. And President Trump, in my opinion, has had to try to kind of tiptoe and do this tiptoeing dance around the abortion question, because I don't know if people have moved on both sides of this issue or not, but for the longest time, I remember that the whole idea that even liberal justices knew that Roe v. Wade was bad law. Would we agree on that? I mean, I even would read about liberal justices and attorneys that would say, yeah, this was a bad decision right from the beginning. Am I right about that, first of all?
Right.
Were they right about it?
Well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg said it. We were taught that. Yeah, in law school, it's just not a good decision.
Okay, so even in law school, you're taught that was bad, all right? So The court balance changes to the point, and enough precedents are set, and then it finally gets up to the Supreme Court, and then it gets not. It's not like there is an abortion ban, federal abortion ban. It is being returned to the states. So it goes back to where it always was decided before, and that is being portrayed somehow as being an abortion ban. But now we have people on the right that are trying to pressure President Trump to go for a national ban, which is just like, you know, what is it about this abortion decision that has driven so much angst on both sides of the both liberals and conservatives? You know, really?
Well, it's the normal human tendency to get to put their nose in other people's business. Is what it is, you know, and on the side of the pro-life people, they feel that they're protecting human life. And if you believe that,
and that's a real moral, and that's a moral issue then, right? You're looking at that.
Right. It's a moral issue.
Okay.
It's a moral issue. And that any destruction of a fetus is murder. Now, you know, there've been different positions in the Catholic Church over the centuries. And for many, many, centuries, great thinkers in the Christian world said, no, abortion is maybe not good up to a certain point, but it's not a grievous sin until there is quickening, until the fetus is formed, and so forth and so on.
Right.
And I wish that concept were explored more. But on the other hand, I'm here in California where anybody can get an abortion at any time.
Oh, my gosh. They'll practically in California, Oregon, and Washington, they'll practically you can probably go up to a vending machine and buy an abortion coupon or something like that. You know, it's kind of the way these West Coast states are, right? There's no stopping that.
Oh, yeah. They'll come to your house. But here's what's interesting. In a place like California, women feel that it's just terrible that other states can, you know, can ban abortion. Like somehow it's their job to protect these unknown people in other states. And that's what's really kind of odd, because when Harris goes on the debate stage and says that Trump's wants an abortion ban, of course, that's exactly against the spirit of this decision.
And that's exactly what Trump was fighting for. Trump was fighting for that decision to return it to the states. Now, I'm wondering if what's gone wrong, though, or where the political right went wrong on this, is that they didn't realize that so many of the states, well, even look at Ohio recently, were much more pro-abortion than they thought, right?
Or Kansas, same thing.
Yeah. And
so that's fine, though.
But no, it's not fine now. Right. See what I'm getting at? And this is where this has become. This should not be an issue in this election process right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Bill. No, Bill, I think it's fine. I don't think a lot of people think it's fine.
Yeah.
And I think the real pressure on this, though, comes not really from the extreme pro-lifers. I think it comes from the pro-abortionists. And they are the ones who think it's just a terrible, terrible thing that every state is not doing abortions. You know, and it's really you wonder what motivates these folks to do that. Why do they care? It's not their state, but somehow they feel that obligation. I mean, do people care about what's happening in Venezuela? No, I don't know, or some country where maybe you can't get an abortion. They don't do that, but they care about what's happening in another state. And that's what's sort of odd. It, like somehow you've got to really protect your sisters in other states. So I think the whole thing is overdone. And I think one of the things that the Supreme Court did do is it did put this thing back to the states. And hopefully, you know, people will get tired of arguing about this on a national stage. It's not a national issue, is really what Trump was trying to say.
It's tearing people apart nationally in national elections. It's not something that we should be dealing with. But, you know, as the pro-life folks, it's like, unfortunately, where you are right now is that you're going to have to be trying to change hearts and minds rather than getting a ban or enforcing a law. Maybe that's where we are. And that's difficult for some to accept.
Right, right. So, you know, what I think people are really saying about this abortion thing is, gosh, we need to elect a progressive so that she can put new people on the court or maybe change the balance of the court, and we'll reinstate Roe v. Wade. Yay. So that's what's really behind this whole thing. And to me, that is dangerous when you are encouraging playing with the institution of the court like this.
You think most people just don't really understand the benefit of federalism?
Yeah, oh, definitely, definitely. And America's been going away from federalism for years, and it's a bad trend. The whole idea that, gee, we've got to do this nationally. When what we're doing is we're nationalizing what should be local issues. Mm. And that's been going on for a long time. And you know, the Warren Court started it out. Earl Warren was a nominal Republican, but he was not a real intellectual. He's very much of a ended up being sort of a progressive and federalized a lot of things that shouldn't be federal, like law enforcement procedures. That should be a matter for the states also, but now we've made it a part of our Constitution.
John O'Connor is author of Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and Began Today's Partisan Advocacy Journalism. When you talk about partisan advocacy journalism, you mean the ones that that Trump could actually find a cure for cancer and he'd still be evil because he would be putting the American Cancer Society out of business?
No, like somebody that might say, do you think somebody would go so far as to say Trump is Hitler? Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
I can't believe that.
No, yeah, not at all. Yeah, it's just a bizarre world that we're living in. Hey, you know, before we take off here, John, and by the way, it's a great book. I just wanted to say, and I'm glad you came on to talk about this sort of stuff, but this is where we are right now with the advocacy journalism. No one's even trying to pretend to be fair about it. When it comes to the Supreme Court, though, back to the Supreme Court again, I was talking with a gentleman who runs Oregon Firearms Federation earlier this morning, and one of the biggest concerns that he has is that the United States is sliding into, this is the concern that this gentleman was talking to me, that we're sliding into a narco-tyranny in which courts are being ignored. And he brings it up when it comes to firearms rights as a matter of fact. We've had all of these Supreme Court decisions, and yet we have state courts in Oregon and California that are practically just doing what they want and ignoring the rules of Second Amendment jurisprudence as handed down by the Supreme Court. What do we do about something like that when not only is the Supreme Court being undermined by liberals within the system, but then when they do come out with decisions, other courts are just ignoring them? Where do we go on something like that?
Well, that's a good question. That's a real good question. I think you just got to keep plugging away. I mean, this happened in a lot of different areas.
It does.
It happened when people had trouble enforcing Brown v. Board of Education. It's a decision that maybe a lot of people didn't like in the South. And so it took a while to get that enforced. Eventually it did. So I think the court's determinations on the Second Amendment will eventually be upheld. But it's something that you still hear people say, gee, we've got to have gun control. That's really going to solve all our problems, even though we're letting crazy people out on the streets and law enforcement is not protecting us. But, gee, the real problem is we're not banning firearms. It's just sort of silly.
Mm-hmm. John, where can people find out more about you and Postgate, maybe your Watergate podcast and all the rest of it? You have one good clearinghouse for that?
Well, sure. Postgatebook.com is my site, postgatebook.com. And my second book is The Mysteries of Watergate. I had done a podcast on it, but the book is really very, very good, very easily understood for those people who want sort of an intro into Watergate and what really happened. That's a good book. Postgate is a little more sophisticated about the Washington Post and about how they defrauded the public in Watergate.
In other words,
postgatebook.com.
Yeah. In other words, the way that that Watergate and the coverage in the Post has been described is kind of one big fraud, right? What we learned all these years later.
Absolutely a fraud. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. It's like everything else. You just can't believe it. Glad to have you on, John. Thanks so much, and we'll have you back. You be well.
Bill, great talking to you. See you.
Thank you. Postgate Book. KBXG.com. It is 831 KMED KBXG. You're on the Bill Meyer Show.
Jasper's Cafe, voted Medford's best burgers for 14 years running.
You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
It is Conspiracy Theory Thursday, which means wherever you want to go, it can be a little odd. It's okay. I'm okay with dealing with a little bit of odd. 770-563-3770-KMED. By the way, today is the day that the new speed limits in downtown Medford, knocking usually 5 miles off of them, and it's 20 miles per hour now through some of that downtown core. Do you think that's going to cause an issue? I'm not a fan of this, but other people are saying, hey, other cities are doing this and it's okay. And does it give you pause? The emphasis on speed cams and reducing the speed. And I know that it has been sold to us. Reducing the speed limits through downtown have been sold to us that this is going to make things safer. And question for you is, do we have a problem with safety downtown under the old speed limits? 25. Nothing slower than 25 through Medford. I actually thought that it was a pretty good compromise. It just treated downtown Medford kind of like a residential street. I'd love to get your opinion on this because they're starting them today. They'll mail you tickets when you violate the law. But they'll start cracking down with the photo tickets or, you know, in the speed tickets here. I think it's in October. They'll give you a couple of weeks in order to comply because everything about going into downtown Medford is about compliance, I guess. But whatever's on your mind about that, do you think it's a good plan? Will it make it safer? Was there a problem with safety before? I just don't remember that. I don't remember there being a real problem. Oh, my gosh, we've had 40 bums mowed down under the Medford regime right now. I just don't remember that. And I just feel like, you know, who's actually in charge? Let's go to Todd. Todd's in Central Point. Todd, good to have you on. What are you thinking today, huh?
Good morning. Well, I was going to talk about something else, but since you now got me.
Oh, no, I want to talk about what you want to talk about. Then you can talk about what I just talked about. Okay, how about that? I'm going to get your point in there, too. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Lynn just called up talking about the COVID vaccine and all like that. It reminded me of a conversation I had recently. A friend's brother was visiting from San Jose. His wife is an RN. And she was talking about her experience during the jaws of COVID-19 and how she worked for Kaiser and how all of the nurses had to sign an NDA that they could not discuss any of their observations about the effects of all these different COVID vaccines.
Really?
And she said, in her opinion, boy, I wish I could get her anonymously on your show. She was a wealth of information. And she said that it was very unusual to have a negative effect, but it was obvious when it happened. And she said that it would be typically blood clots. And one case especially bothered her because it stuck in her mind. It was this young, healthy 36-year-old guy who was desperate. He was all jammed up with fear that he had heard, oh, I got to get the shot, got to get the shot. He was working on getting transportation to the hospital. He gets the shot. 2 days later, he's dead. And it's because of blood clots, and they did a thorough examination of him. He had absolutely no history of any kind of coronary or blood problems or heart problems, nothing. And she said it was obvious to her that this was an issue, and she'd seen it a few times. Again, very rarely, but there were obvious cause and effect.
And what I'm kind of curious about, going back to what that Forgotten Side of Medicine Substack was writing about, you know, the Midwestern doctor, says that no matter what, the medical establishment has circled the wagon so tightly that it doesn't matter. You can sit there and inject the person and they die right then, but it's never the vaccine. Is that the way it was treated at Kaiser? Just curious.
Absolutely. And you weren't allowed to be honest about it. You couldn't have a conversation. I mean, it was repressive. I mean, non-disclosure agreement, you say a word, you're fired on the spot.
Wow.
And she still works for them. She still works for them. So.
Yeah. I appreciate you. Thank you for letting me know about that, okay? And now then, I guess on the downtown, on Medford, you want to give us a quick take on that?
Very quickly. So last weekend was that open street fair with the art stuff in Central Point. And I stopped in and talked to one of the shop owners there that I had talked to previously. And he had moved from downtown Medford to Central Point. And he was talking about what a relief it was because of all of the hardships of being in Medford with the bums and working with the city of Medford. And he said it was just night and day, and it was just a breath of fresh air to be working on Central Point. And I said, so tell me about the facts of it. But what are you paying per square foot? And he said he's paying about $1 per square foot in Central Point versus $2 a square foot in Medford. And he said, if you didn't know, basically two families own most of the commercial real estate in Medford. Mm-hmm. And if that is the case, they're not managing it very well. they're pushing retailers out. So about all the lights and the speed cameras and all like that, it's just another reason for me to avoid the place.
And that's what I'm concerned about, because you would think that the Medford City Council would be able to observe what we can observe going through the city. I want the city to be vibrant and healthy, and they seem to be doing everything possible, whether it's relying on statute and not pushing back on anything, declaring a business district and make it 20 miles an hour. Let's put up the speed cams. The more punitive that you make it to visit your city, the fewer people are going to visit your city. It's just common sense, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'll have to mention one positive thing. We hear all across the country and here also that vendors are afraid to call the police or to deal with shoplifters and all like that. So I'm at the South Goodwill near off of Stewart or whatever, and I see kind of a sketchy homeless guy outside the front door as I go in. Kind of made a mental note of it. As I come out, he's there surrounded by three guys that are surrounding him, and it looks kind of like it's moving towards a violent situation. I thought, oh, maybe it's a drug deal gone bad. Mm-hmm. I go back to my car and I keep an eye on it in case I have to call the cops. It turns out they're undercover security. They handcuff him, and he's saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and they lead him back into the store. So at least somebody's doing something to push back against the shoplifting.
That's good. That's good. You don't want to see us go the way of the Bay Area. That's bad. All right. Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Todd. Good call. Let me go to next line. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this? Hi. Hello.
Is it me, Bill?
Yep, it sure is. Go ahead.
Hey, it's Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, why did yields go up on bonds when the Fed dropped interest rates 0.5%?
Let's see. So yields went up on bonds instead of going down?
Yeah.
Huh.
What's going on?
Could it be that they're not believing it?
I mean, one of the things I find incredibly interesting is anytime there's a Fed rate decision, if everybody expects there's no change, there isn't much reaction in the market when the Fed chairman comes out and says, yeah, there's no change. But when you expect some kind of a change and then he goes 50, drops 50 basis points as opposed to 0.25%, and then you see the indices scream higher.
Yeah, but isn't that indicative of a panic on the Fed's part?
It was interesting. I watched his press conference yesterday, and, honestly, the reporters asked quite a few good questions. I was really impressed with the quality of the questions they were asking.
That's good.
What's that? Yeah, so I was really happy with the quality of the questions that they asked. Some people, asked if it was political, and he came out and he says, no. He says, this part I thought was really funny. He says, we work for the public. And I thought to myself,
Oh, come on, man. You got to be kidding me, man. They work for Wall Street, dude. They work for the money system.
And he said it. Maybe this is that an economist face on, but I was like, how can he even say that with a straight face? But that's economists, So anyway, but I noticed that bond yields go up. I did a little looking around. I wasn't surprised, actually, that the index closed a bit lower yesterday, because you've heard me talk about this before. Around these decisions like this, they turn the machines on, the machines take over. They just, do their automatic trading and stuff, churn up profits. This is what surprised me as far as yesterday's action goes. Is normally you'll have an action in one way, then a reaction in the other way, and then maybe one more. Those indices were chopping back and forth until the market closed. And you don't normally see that. Usually it calms down on the last hour of trading following a Fed decision, but they stayed volatile. So I actually was surprised they opened as strongly as they did. Well, when the futures were trading.
Let me just ask you, though. I think that the Federal Reserve cut 50 basis points because they already know we're in a recession. What do you think?
I agree. And he, you know, it's interesting because he, their prediction is that unemployment right now, if you believe the government's numbers, the 4.3%, they expect that it's going to get up to 4.4% and that it's going to peak. And when he said that, all I could think of was inflation is transitory.
Yeah.
That's all I could think, because it's kind of a similar statement, just about a slightly different topic. But, you know, first of all, erasing those 818,000 jobs from the last year, that I think sort of was played into where they were at as going 50 basis points. And I think they realize, I mean, I've got an article here in front of me, and they're talking about corporate America. They have the CEOs get together and talk about their, you know, their business prospects going forward. And they're mostly saying they're pulling their horns with regards to hiring. Now, they say it's because they expect sales to be, you know, light going into next year.
Yeah.
But I wonder how much of this is, we talked about AI a little bit, and sometimes, you know, companies invest in AI and it doesn't really affect them.
Oh, no, there are companies investing in AI so that way they don't have to have pesky people. There we go.
Yeah. And I do think part of that is they're looking at it and saying, yeah, we might be able to replace some people if we continue to go this direction. It's going to work for us. So
yeah, and I think when you have some of those corporations that are saying, hey, you know, we're going to demand that you be in the office 5 days a week now, no more of this staying at home, I think this is an idea of a soft layoff, because there are going to be a lot of people that won't want to do that, okay?
I think that's true, too.
All right. Hey, good call. I always appreciate it. Almost out of time, though. Right. Okay, Matt, we'll have to have you back for another longer talk when we sit around just, spitball on the stocks and more, okay? 845, and a quick update on news. If you're on hold, I will get right to you, okay? And we have this hour on the Bill Maher Show, sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com. Hi, this is Bill Maher, and I'm with Charisse.
News Talk 106.3 KMET. This is the Bill Maher Show.
By the way, I want to do a shout-out for American Industrial Door. They put in a Wayne Dalton door on my home. Gosh, what was it, about 6-7 years ago? Because the door that was there that when we bought the house was just horrid. And I got to tell you, we are still so proud. Every time we take a look at that, it's so beautiful. I could swear it was, it's better than painting the house. Of course, painting the house is what I needed to do with it next, along with some foundation work and some various other things. But thank you, AID. Did a great job. Let me get back to the phones here, though. It's Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We have a few minutes left here, so we'll have to be just diving right into it. David, you wanted to talk about the open borders, fentanyl, so much more. You had a son. You lost a son because of the fentanyl situation, right? Welcome back.
Yes. Yeah, last year he got clean, and then all of a sudden relapsed. The dealer, it was my son's fault, but the dealer who sold it to him was responsible for 5 deaths. The guy's still walking on the streets. But anyhow, I think that part of the, maybe I'm becoming too cynical. I think the borders are open and they're letting the fentanyl flood the cities. You know, it kills people off. But on top of that, Big Pharma must be making a mint on Narcan, because you can get it anywhere free. And I heard in California they were going to demand that kids all have a Narcan package in their backpack when they go to school.
Are you serious? Really?
Yeah, I heard that on the radio.
Wow. Okay, well, I haven't heard that one yet. But, you know, in Gavin Newsom will, in the world, I that would not surprise me in the very least. All right. David, I appreciate the call. So you're thinking it's all baked in the cake and intentionally. All right, let me go to you. We got Michael. Hello, Michael. Michael Shaw.
Good morning, sir. I've got two topics I'm going to tie together real quick for you because I know you're short of time. The reduction of speed limits in downtown Medford should be an issue for all those who want a green world, because internal combustion engines are very inefficient at 20 miles an hour. They're not screaming about it, because then the city is going to say, well, we got bad air pollution, we need to mandate all EVs downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the conspiracy theory part of that.
Yeah. Now, okay, got it. That's not unreasonable. I could see them, because we have the air monitors down here and it's just so bad. But you're right. Vehicles that are not moving quickly are much more polluting and much more inefficient. You're right about that.
So You remember how we've had the issue over years about people saying don't hold your mobile phone up to your head because you're going to get cancer from the batteries and so on and so forth? Remember all those conversations?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So I'm going to tie it all together with the EVs now. In 3 or 5 years from now, are we going to see an extreme increase in colon rectal cancer because everybody's driving their EVs sitting on these humongous batteries?
That's an interesting question. I don't even know how you'd study that, but yeah, you think about that with the EMF, with the radiation, the electrical radiation coming out of the computers and the battery system. That's interesting. Wow. Huh.
These are weird places my mind will take me.
That's okay. That's why we have Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Thanks for it, Michael. Let me go to Brad. Brad wants to talk about the traffic for downtown Medford. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, Bill. Bill Brad here. Good morning to you. Yeah, Jim Hill and American Door, wonderful, wonderful people.
They are.
So
he is.
So traffic, you know, think of traffic like water, like electricity, right? You've got bandwidth and then you've got velocity, right? So you get more water through a 4-inch pipe than you get through a 1-inch pipe. If you turn the pressure up, you get more water through. So, again, getting back to CFET, climate-friendly, equitable communities, the mandate is to do what? Reduce vehicle miles traveled.
That's right.
So,
what better way to do it but to make it very uninviting to be here?
So,
right?
What have they been doing for the last 2 years? They've been reducing capacity, right? Taking 4 lanes down to 2 lanes, 3 lanes, you know, and so on and so forth. And when I say they, I'm not talking about the city of Medford. I'm talking about the state of Oregon, mostly through traffic designs furnished by Kittleson and Associates. So what your listeners need to understand is that they do not like the roads that they have already paid for being reduced in capacity and in velocity. And who this falls hardest on are working mothers and businesses. You got these working mothers, they're working you know what off. They've got kids in the back. They're trying to get to soccer practice. They're trying to get to school. They're trying to get the kids to shopping, to church. And they're tied up in traffic. They can't get where they need to go. They need to come to the city council, and we have a very good city council. Matter of fact, we have a transportation professional on city council named Nick Card. Nick Card, very bright young man. He is an expert on transportation. Come to the Medford City Council and say, I am a working mother. I am a business. This is not working for us. Please do not do this to us.
And by the way, I would also add something else. I already submitted a comment to the Medford City Council last week in which I implored them to, I'm sure, I have no doubt this is part of their transportation plan approved by past city councils. There is nothing that says that the city council cannot reopen the transportation plan and get true public input rather than the agenda-based input that they have been getting all these years. Would that be a fair assessment? Just something to ask for.
It is. Like when they did that ridiculous restructuring downtown, that wasn't our current city council that did it. That was the city council from like 3 years ago that did it.
Exactly. Point well taken. Thank you for making it, Brad. And let me go to finally here. We got Selma Dave. Selma Dave, give me some financial news there or some data. I'd like
to
hear
really it. Really quickly, the guy who said that his son or whatever was laying off fentanyl for a while, then he went back and he died. That's how Janis Joplin died. When you get semi-clean, your tolerance goes down, and then when you go back, you take your same dose, and it'll kill you.
Yikes.
Anyway, so we're now at $35.3 trillion deficit, national debt, and our deficits are now running $2 trillion a year, meaning we're spending $2 trillion more than we bring in every year. So the interest payment just came out, $1.2 trillion in interest alone on our debt, which is now the second highest line item in the budget behind Social Security at $1.5 trillion, ahead of the military at about $900 billion. It's crowding everything out, and it's only going to get worse because our budget deficit – oh, and also we're 130% of GDP on our debt.
But And let me ask you, I'm sorry to interject here, Selma Dave. Isn't the price of gold really indicating that they don't have control?
Gone up $300 in the past 2 months.
Yeah, but they don't have control, and they're not going to have control no matter who's president, really.
No, it's going to continue to go up. So our national debt, we're 130% of GDP. When you're 120% of GDP, you're Greece. So we're in bad shape there. Our deficits are 6% of GDP. The rest of the industrialized world is only 2% of GDP on their deficits. We're heading in a bad way, and we aren't going to get out of it with austerity or anything else, because whenever you go to austerity, you're goring somebody's ox no matter what you do, and it's going to be hell. You'll never get anything done.
Now, may you live in interesting times. We're there, right?
Yeah. As long as you plan for it and you buy the right assets, you're going to come out smelling like a rose.
All right. Appreciate it, Selma Day. Thanks for making it. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Some emails of the day. We'll dig into some of those before we wrap for Markley Van Camp and Robbins.
With Home and Bill,
I'm on KMED.
Hey, anything with Patriot, how bad could it be, right? Good going, Corey. It's 9 o'clock. Emails of the day, sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. They take pride in same-day crowns crafted at their local lab. High quality. Gosh, it could be practically as you wait. Get your appointment at CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And let me head into some of these. The Reverend David writes me this morning, Bill, I just heard a police officer say that they just can't figure out how the Trump assassin, being a twice-convicted felon, got his hands on the gun. Are they that dumb? I was screaming at the radio, he got it through the black market! They don't need background checks, Dave. I'm right there with you. Cliff writes me this morning about the 20-mile-per-hour speed in downtown Medford, effective today, by the way. Yes, the 20-mile-per-hour business zones will be safer. I will not be driving in the city of Medford with my lead foot on the gas pedal. All right. Keith weighs in on this bill. What the heck? Retail stores are downtown anyway to be called a business district. There's no grocery stores, no general merchandising stores, no pharmacy. I guess it's just something that they end up declaring there, Keith. And let's see, Tony weighs in. Hey, Bill, wouldn't it be great to hear Joe Biden come out and just say, we have to quit lying? Do you think people would be fooled by such a rhetorical trick, Tony? But I have to laugh about that. And we have Ava writing, or AJ rather, writing, they think Medicare for all is the answer, Bill, but they don't realize that those of us who can afford it need to add a supplement, and it goes up just like everything else right now. Point well taken. I imagine that 2% or so they'll put on Social Security is not going to handle that, right, AJ? And finally, Michael says, Bill, one of your callers says that the Trump golf course shooter had an SKS. Well, I bought one in the early 1990s for $100. In factory trim, non-removable 11-round capacity. If you remove that, you can install a removable magazine with 20 or 30 rounds. I love that rifle because it is very accurate. However, I've never tried to take a shot over 100 yards because I can't see farther than that. It's not that popular, but I love shooting mine, all right? And love your show, and be well. Thank you very much, MJ, and or MG, rather. The email, Bill, at BillMyersShow.com. We have a lot to discuss tomorrow, including the D.C. swamp update and so much more, and we will catch you then.